It's 80-20 Health,
the world's shortest episode.
Get some sleep.
Eat some food.
Move around.
Know thyself.
Grow thyself.
All this and a good deal more after the break.
Welcome back, all you beautiful people. Today we're talking 80-20 Health. As always, I'm Nick. That's Eric. We're the Get Good Guys.
And this is the Get Good Guide. Time to be healthy, Nick.
Sounded more rehearsed that time.
It
for
sounded
some
a little rehearsed,
weird.
That one.
I don't
that
know
one.
Why.
Usually it's spontaneous, but that one sounded
strange,
vaguely weird. Practiced.
Indeed. We're talking 80-20 health.
Indeed. Yeah. This idea of, okay, so health, that's about as broad a goal as you can have.
You got it. And we use this 80-20 term pretty often and throughout the guide, essentially to mean, right, how we can get the most out of our whatever it is, right? Our practice with the least amount of input, at least time-wise.
Yeah, maximal return, minimal input. And oftentimes we think in these sort of like groups of five when we're thinking about maybe it's a skill breakdown or however we're thinking about this. But we've got our five items here. Sleep, nutrition, movement, endocrine system management, and growth.
I couldn't decide if you're pausing to like have me do the
was
next
that an
one.
Elliot? It wasn't. It was just me taking it to the rack.
I'll pass it to myself. Yeah, for sure. And these obviously are things that everyone knows are good for your health.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about them. Sleep first. If there's one thing that's going to do you the most good for sleep, it's getting up at the same time every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is kind of thematic to the episode. We're looking for one thing in each of these five areas. One thing you can do, just absolutely one action item.
For sure, that 80-20 rule is what we're trying to stick to here. It's very easy with any of these things. They're broad to kind of dive down a rabbit hole and get stuck thinking about the smaller details or things that you could be doing. But that can be, it's already hard enough to get any of these things done. But if you want all of them or even a handful, it's going to be real tricky if you're not limiting yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
To the important pieces.
Yeah, and that rabbit hole is the greatness trap, right? And it's interesting on these particular items, the greatness trap happens in a hurry.
Sure.
Because it is relatively simple to put in this first 20%, even compared to other growth skills. So this idea of, okay, hey, look, we are absolutely going to stick to just the first biggest impact thing.
Yeah.
And for sleep, that's it. Wake up at the same time, 7 days a week.
Well, and for all of these, and as we continue to go through, the application of them is simple, but like making it happen on a consistent basis is not simple.
Yeah. That's more of a challenge.
Which is why so few people have all of these working. I don't have all these working all the time.
Correct.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you do have all the five of them working, you are absolutely vulnerable to the greatness trap because you feel better, you feel healthier, you're more effective, and so you're like, oh, I'll add some things, you know.
Who's that guy? Woo!
Ooh, maybe some magnesium at night, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel groggy now.
Yeah,
no, it's one of those things where I would argue that staying merely good at this is probably to your great benefit.
Yeah.
So why does that work, right? When you wake up at the same time every day, it's not go to bed at the same time. It's not have a bedtime, right? It's not get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
It's wake up at the same time. And you set that based on your life's responsibilities.
Sure.
Now, there are times in your life when you say, have too many children, that this is going to be a trickier thing to pull off.
What's the quote? One more than you currently have?
One fewer.
Or one fewer.
Yeah. What's the right number of kids? Yeah. One fewer than you have. So when you are trying to wake up, you know, the same time, 7 days a week, okay, well, presumably a couple of those days, you're probably not going to have to wake up.
Right.
But you still do. And you do that not out of some like rise and grind, mindset,
sure,
but rather I just want to maintain my rhythms.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to maintain that my body knows to go to sleep at the same time, because it knows it has to get up.
Well, and your body will even start to do this for you over time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not a short time.
For sure. And you're going to wake up in the day you don't need to and be like, I don't want to go back to sleep. Why am I awake right now?
Right.
Lean into that. Lean in.
Absolutely. Let's talk nutrition.
Let's do it. I'm going to steal a quote from this guy I know. His name's Eric.
Not my quote, but I did write it at the top of a set of notes.
And well, the first time I heard it, we'll say.
Sure.
And food is fuel, yeah, would be that quote. Yeah. We've been talking for a while, you and I, on and off about nutrition, and this is something that I think you came across. You'll have to say who it's actually from.
I don't know.
But really stuck in my head, as something very, very valuable, because it's a pretty easy thing to remember. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty great way to inform some decision-making as far as what your plans are, even if you don't have a lot of background in knowledge about nutrition.
Yeah. Nutrition is probably the, like, twistiest, windiest rabbit hole of these five, because, you know, followed closely by movement, I think. But nutrition is one of those things where you can absolutely fall into the greatness trap. I think we talked about this with Austin, where, you know, doing a food journey of some sort, like kind of changing up the way that I was thinking about my nutrition. And someone said, like, oh, don't eat carrots, they have sugar. And I was like, okay. You know, but if and I'll steal a quote back from you, which is, when you are in this food is fuel mindset, one of the easiest questions to ask yourself as you're about to eat something, or you're preparing to sit down and prepare your nutrition, to sort of ask yourself, well, what am I fueling for? Because this is the knock-on effect here is, so many people, and I'm one of these people, the excess calories, the excess intake, the unhealthy intake happens before bedtime.
Sure.
And you, if you ask yourself the question, like, what am I fueling for?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be well-fueled to go to sleep.
Right.
You know? And so you ask yourself, okay, what am I fueling for? And that will really, a lot of times, just in and of itself, help you grapple with whatever you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the other reasons that this, at least for me, tends to drift into that greatness trap pretty often, or at least sometimes confusion about what is good, is because you get a lot of people trying to sell things in this realm, where they're trying to sell ideas or plans or meals or whatever it is, and it can be hard to sift through what's actually important and what they're trying to sell and all that stuff. And in an effort to do that, you try to dig deeper and you kind of, it all kind of coalesces into this big realm of, I don't know what's going on.
It's just a cloud. It's just a cloud of information. Yeah. But having these sort of singular, I don't want to call them mantras, because it's not about necessarily, like, a mantra is something you repeat to kind of reinforce an idea.
Sure.
This is just like a singular idea. And then, you know, whatever knock-on benefits come out of it, that's great. But let's talk movement, right? I would argue, again, the second most rabbit-holiest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because there are, again, a lot of people trying to sell products or ideas in this realm.
Yeah, well, and it's something that, you know, of course everyone does in their daily life to some aspect
Hopefully.
Of movement. Yeah,
ideally.
Right?
Yeah.
And deciphering what is right for you, what amount you need for your goals and all that kind of stuff, can be quite tricky.
Yeah.
And what amount you need to grow or to kind of like stay what you're doing. We talked about some benefits that we would try to search for as far as movement's concerned. And basically functionality, which is a very like buzz term kind of word, but some freedom of movement.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it that you want to do, right? What functions are you trying to have?
Yeah.
I would say 95% of humans they want to be comfortable in their bodies. They want their bodies to be capable of moving around in a relatively kind of average way.
Sure.
Right? Very few people are out there saying, like, oh, I really want to be great at athletics.
Right.
Or I really want to, you know, run a marathon. There are certainly people who are out there where their movement priorities are based on a different functionality.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, the big one, of course, is like, you're going to keep getting older.
Right.
And things in your body are not going to be as functional. Can you delay that dysfunction?
Yeah, exactly. There's this. Well, actually, we were just talking about this old man test the other day, where you stand on one leg, you put a shoe on, you know, put your socks on, you put a shoe on, you switch, you put the other shoe and sock on. This is a great like type of functional movement that doesn't feel like movement practice, but it is, and it's functional because it's something you would do every single day.
Yeah.
A lot of functional type stuff you could think of as being able to like go up and down stairs without pain, you know, stand up and sit down without pain, get on and off the floor without pain, things that sound simple, but are actually like super important for any amount of life and would be so much easier if you said, oh, well, I don't have to worry if there's a lot of stairs.
That takes us down to the endocrine system management. The endocrine system is a complex system in your body because it's composed of a whole bunch of different component parts. But, you know, if you kind of don't worry about all that, because endocrinologists tend to be like the smartest kids in med school, right? Sure. You took all the smart kids, put them in med school, and then you took the smartest ones and put them in endocrinology. But the endocrine system is, it operates in a really simple fashion because it's super old evolutionarily. There's only so many things it can do. And you lead a very complex life, and your endocrine system is a real big part of that life. It's a real huge part of your experiences, your emotions, the way that you feel. And it's fairly simple to understand. Mm. You've got essentially two kind of like responses. You can get up or you can get down, right? Sure. Like you can get keyed up, right? What is sometimes referred to as the fight, flight, freeze kind of reflex.
Yeah.
That's the adrenal response, which is also coupled with a steroid cortisol. And then you can sort of come down from that, right? Where you have a serotonin response. Understanding how that feels when each of those things are happening. So if you have a cortisol event where you can't think about anything but this one thing, that's a cortisol event. Understanding how that feels, understanding how to change your serotonin, right? Like I use a sauna, right, to increase serotonin. And there's a bunch of different sort of practical ways, but understanding what does it look like when I'm not getting enough dopamine in my life, if I'm not, and this is highly related to the next one about growth, but what does that look and feel like?
Sure.
And just understanding it is absolutely like a huge benefit.
Yeah, understanding it and being able to recognize it in the moment, right? The sooner you can recognize that event, the sooner you can begin to address it, essentially.
And every human experiences it slightly differently.
Sure.
So it's not as though you can just, oh, here's a pamphlet.
Correct.
You do have to kind of think through, oh, okay, interesting. I've been doom scrolling short form media, TikTok or whatever for 4 hours.
Yeah.
What is that? That's a dopamine seeking response. I'm looking for dopamine.
Well, and it'll be interesting for people to kind of self-explore this idea and maybe take things they're already doing without changing anything and just trying to be a little mindful about how they're feeling or how that makes them feel before, after, during. Yeah. And, you know, maybe working on kind of latching on to those more positive moments.
Yeah, definitely. Think of it kind of like, okay, if you drive a car every day, it's not a bad, well, I think we talked about this, not a bad idea to know how you're supposed to keep your tires inflated, what, you know, the oil, what it sounds like when the engine's not functioning properly. It's a similar idea in the endocrine system. So let's talk about growth. It's an important one.
I tell you.
It's the overlooked one, I think.
Good thing we're here.
Good thing we're here. We're happy to help. Happy to help.
Good growth.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is one that we see a lot of course, in education and working working with an older population sometimes as well. When we stop kind of pursuing something, whether it's kind of external, internal, whatever it is, it's very, very easy to kind of lose sight or lose track or lose motivation for any of these other four, I think.
Right.
You know, not to mention it's beneficial for your brain and all this stuff. But I think it's really hard for me personally to do any of these other four if I don't have, use another buzzword kind of term, like a growth mindset.
Sure.
Of I don't like the feeling of, well, I just am going to try to like run out the clock.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a pretty awful thing to think about, right? Like, well, I'll just wait here until I die.
For sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you really, and so the one sentence in growth is sort of like, well, pursue something, right? Pursue something. And you as a human get to decide what that is. And probably there are some healthier things to pursue and some maybe less healthy things
probably
to pursue.
True.
I was listening to Yeah, Theo Vaughn was like reminiscing about his cocaine use. Yeah. And he was like, oh, it was great. You know, yeah. So I guess you could really pursue that. But yeah, you know, pursue something. If you are pursuing something, the other four items on this list make a lot more sense.
Yeah, and become a lot easier, I think.
Yeah. All right, my friends. Well, we will see all of you in the outro. Well, gee, thanks, everybody. Sure do appreciate you taking the time here on 8020 Health, the first episode of May in this year, 2024. We'll be talking a little bit more over on the Patreon, maybe diving into the science on the endocrine management or talking a little bit more about growth, and even maybe pursuing a second or even third sentence for each of these five areas where you can very quickly increase your own health. You can find that over at patreon.com/getgoodguide or in the membership area over on the website getgood.guide, where you can also download a copy of the guide for free. Thank you again. And as always, I'm Eric. That's Nick. We're the Get Good Guys.
And this is the Get Good Guide.
I think we should do an episode where we just perform arias from our favorite opera.
Deal.
But only mezzo-soprano arias. And,
okay. Yeah. Deal. I'm going all alto all the time.
When I was in middle school, there was a girl who was in like 1,000 choir classes.
Okay.
Right? And she had all these like alto jokes. Like you would have like blonde jokes or you would have like, you know, and that was her thing. She had like alto jokes.
That's pretty funny. I'm very curious about this gal.
Yeah, she's an interesting person. I lost track of her.
Let's get her on. Let's have her on for
So I actually think she's a national park ranger now, believe it or not.
Interesting. All right, well, all his alto jokes came came in handy.
You know who loves an alto joke?
They probably do. I don't know.
A choir-based joke everyone loves, especially the National Park Service. All right.